back with the 100th episode of the Brick House Podcast.
Wow.
Bob Johnson here.
Matt Baker, what a milestone. How many people can say they have 100 episodes of a basketball-related podcast named Brick House?
It really narrowed it down there. And NBA basketball is back big time, which is really the most exciting news. There is a big headline out. The Warriors officially can't go 82-0 anymore, Matt.
We spent an entire offseason wondering how teams were going to beat San Francisco, and within minutes of game, the opening night, we realized that...
Mopped the floor with them.
Yeah.
I heard there were actually sports books in Vegas where you could bet over under 81 wins on the Warriors this year.
Amazing.
Probably for much better odds, of
right.
course. Yeah, so far, three nights into the NBA season, or is it four nights, Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook are doing their best impersonations of Wilt Chamberlain and Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
Friday night, Westbrook took 44 shots versus Phoenix. You know, right in April, we were all lauding Kobe Bryant's final game. But he took 50 shots for the first time since, like, the 70s that had taken 50 shots.
So Westbrook almost matched that.
Yeah, Westbrook has a new career high. His previous career high was 43 shot attempts.
I think this is what we all expected, though, right? We all realized that this was going to be how this was going down for the Thunder.
Yeah, he had a triple-double with over 40 points, over 50 points last night, excuse me. Yeah, Festus Ezeli tweeted about Anthony Davis, New Orleans offense equals pass it to AD. Through two games, Davis has 40.5 minutes, 47.5 points, 16.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4.5 steals, 3 blocks per game.
Nice, is that it?
Nice stats.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook's 51-12-10 triple-double is the first 50-point triple-double since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1975.
Wow.
Also, Westbrook's 38.6% from the field was the lowest in any 50-point game since the 83-84 season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Steven Adams was asked about Westbrook's night. He was quoted as saying, "It was good, mate. Standard."
Yeah. Great impression.
Oladipo had 17 shots, but no other Thunder player had double-digit shot attempts.
Okay,
on
sure.
the entire team.
Right.
Oh, and they barely beat the 76ers and Phoenix Suns playing this way, the Oklahoma City Thunder. James Harden looked like Steve Nash in the first half versus the Lakers, and then looked like John Nash fighting invisible Nazis by the end of the fourth quarter. The early awkward award goes to R.J. Hunter. Have you heard that R.J. Hunter was the last guy cut from the Celtics roster?
Right.
James Young was the last guy who made the team this year. The Celtics had so many young first-round draft picks that they had to cut one of them. Hunter was the odd man out.
They couldn't have traded him, I guess? No.
I think they tried to.
Sure. Same with the Suns tried to trade Archie Goodwin and then waived him, too. So.
Right. Yeah, you don't have a ton of leverage at that point.
Right.
The awkward moment comes because the Chicago Bulls that day picked up R.J. Hunter, and then that night played the Boston Celtics.
That's fun.
Hunter said he had to stop himself from cheering for the Celtics from the Bulls bench, reminding himself what team he's on.
Yeah, definitely.
I saw a funny headline that I call this segment, "White Guys Got Jokes." This is from the Cleveland Cavaliers locker room. And a funny locker room moment when all the players started reciting lines from the 90s hit television show Martin. LeBron James was cracking himself up, shouting across the room at J.R. Smith. After a few minutes went by, Love looked over at Smith and asked, "Is he talking about Seinfeld?"
That's
White guys got jokes. Matt, exactly 1 week after the world finds out who the next president of the United States is, November 15th, there will be an announcement about the future of Space Jam 2.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I will be holding my breath until that moment.
Can we get John King on CNN to, you know, that big map of the United States where he looks at all the counties? Can we get, like, a big map for Space Jam 2 where he's leading us around?
I think Ohio is going to play an integral role in Space Jam 2.
Yeah, I think it very much will. Yeah.
For the 100th episode, Matt, I wanted to introduce some new segments that we're going to use going forward.
Okay.
You know, one of the people who's very inspiring on the Brick House podcast for his curmudgeonly quotes is Greg Popovich.
Love him.
He doesn't necessarily fall into the diss of the week with his quotes, though, although they are very tongue-in-cheek often.
Sure.
I think he deserves his own segment, which we will lovingly call Popping Off.
Oh, man. That's good. They had a, yeah, he's the longest tenured coach, what, 5 championships? I think he's earned his own segment here.
Yeah. So this segment, each week, if Greg Popovich has some good quotes, we'll let you know about him. If somebody else in the NBA has a GP-esque statement, we'll alert you to that. This week's Popping Off, Matt.
Yeah. Give it to me, Bob.
Jeff McDonald's reported Greg Popovich on a couple of new rule changes announced for the D-League. He was asked about some rule changes in the D-League. Popovich's answer, I'm coaching in San Francisco tonight, not in Austin, so I don't care.
Classic. Straight shooter, that guy.
He's just popping off.
I thought I saw him the other night in Manhattan Beach, and I got really excited, but then I remembered he's probably in San Antonio, Bob.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You never know. Another new segment that I want to introduce, it's really just more of a formal introduction because we talk about stuff that we would put in this segment on pretty much every episode. The working title is The Business of Basketball.
Okay.
So much of our show is historically focused on owners, enormous contracts, and this new TV deal, NBA. This segment will deliver some more interesting tidbits about, the money and business behind the game of basketball. Here's an interesting one for the inaugural segment. It involves Kristaps Porzingis and a new shoe deal that he just signed with Adidas that will pay him between $3 and $6 million a year annually based on incentives. This is from Yahoo Sports.
Okay.
The fact that Porzingis was a sneaker free agent was a mostly unprecedented case. Typically, rookies drafted at the top of the first round sign a 4-year sneaker deal, but Porzingis signed a 4-year contract with Nike for $25,000 when he began his pro career in Spain at 17.
Can you, repeat that number there, Bob?
$25,000, okay. 4-year contract.
That's not $25,000. As you told me about this earlier, and I was confused because I thought it was $25,000 a year, but it was $25,000 combined.
You know, LeBron James shoes cost about $300. If right. he wore a fresh pair of LeBrons for every game in practice, that would probably be more than the, $6,250 annually
right.
that he gets, especially if you take out European taxes.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a very unique thing. It's kind of surprising that Nike wouldn't match $3 to $6 million for Kristaps.
Sure.
But then again, I guess there are so many different brands and players that you can have to pick and choose to get behind.
Right, and big guy shoes don't necessarily sell as well.
Especially Sean Bradley looking big guys.
Yeah.
Also in the business of basketball section is a contract extension from one of the worst draft classes in a while, the 2013 draft class. There have now been 3 extensions officially.
Okay.
The first to sign the extension was Portland CJ McCollum.
Right.
Followed quickly by Greek Freak, Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm.
Just before the Halloween deadline, Dennis Schroeder and the Atlanta Hawks came to terms on a new 4-year contract extension worth $70
million. Yeah, right. Which really ripped the hearts out of the Philadelphia 76ers there, Bob.
Yeah, we did report that they were rumored to want to throw a max deal at Schroeder.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking through here and extension-wise, in 2013, there's not a lot of candidates that...
Yeah, I mean, go through. Number one pick in the draft, Anthony Bennett.
Bennett's gone. Oladipo, he's probably one of the next ones, if there is, you would think, maybe.
Yeah, but the Thunder probably have to do like Andre Drummond or Kawhi and
wait until
next year to re-sign him so they can hopefully add a free agent.
Yeah.
Plus, they're going to have to deal with Steven Adams' contract extension, too. Probably is going to get a max deal.
That's true. I guess Gobert. Gobert would be one who would be potentially up. I don't know. It's tough.
It's not Rookie of the Year Michael Carter Williams, that's for sure. He's like 35 now.
Yeah.
The last thing in the business of basketball is if you want a Cavs championship ring, Matt,
mm-hmm.
you can have one.
Oh, can I? Thanks.
via the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Yeah, if you were watching the Cavaliers ring ceremony Tuesday night and thought to yourself, geez, I'd like to wear one of those, now you can, sort of. The Cavaliers team shop and K Jewelers are selling several replica versions of the championship rings, including one for $12,000.
Okay.
Well, $11,999.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't don't use hyperbole there, Bob. Number hyperbole. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it here. That's a... Okay, I see what's going on. I think combined you and I can throw down for a $300 one just as a Brick House souvenir.
Yeah, for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Brick House Hall of Fame. Yeah.
In other NBA news, Sam Cassell wants the NBA to let the balls go.
Okay.
From TMZ, Kobe Bryant has done it. Caron Butler has done it. And now, the originator of the NBA's Big Balls Dance thinks it's high time the league lets guys do it in peace without the huge fine.
Yeah.
Sam's been busting the move since back in his Minnesota Timberwolves days, but the league has labeled it a no-no, issuing huge fines to offending players. Sam has a message for the league. Let the balls go. Saying fining a guy huge money for a little expression is kind of whack. Thanks, Sam Cassell.
Yeah, I'm anything Sam wants to, he needs something to talk about.
Matt, for the 100th episode of the Brick House podcast, we can't leave out one of our most beloved segments.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
I think this may be one of the most appropriate "What does this have to do with LeBron James" segments that we have ever done.
Okay.
So the night of the ring ceremony, Tuesday night in Cleveland, LeBron did say, you know, into a hot mic, if you aren't from Cleveland or play for them, there's pretty much no reason for you to live. Which was pretty scary. Weird thing to say. But what I want to point to in this segment is the sentiment that I got from a lot of sports writers, a lot of media members, that somehow, because LeBron James willed the Cleveland Cavaliers to a 3-1 comeback championship, ending Cleveland's 52-year sports curse,
right,
that somehow winning that championship is the reason that the Cleveland Indians have made the World Series. Have you heard this sentiment echoed, Matt?
I was talking to friend of the show Aaron and saying how now the Indians only have to deal with not winning a World Series in 50 years. They don't have to deal with the whole Cleveland, the whole Cleveland curse. So I think the pressure might have gotten lifted off them just a bit. Because right now, if the Cavs didn't win, think of how the Indians, there'd be so much, there's just so much riding on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the Cavs, you know, the Cavs made everyone realize that they could win a championship in Cleveland.
You know, I'm not the kind of guy who believes in sports curses, but if I did, I would ask, why has God still forsaken the Cleveland Browns?
Oh, man. And they are like having their, it's like one of their worst luck seasons ever.
Yeah, it's quite possible they go 0-16 this year.
Yeah, they're already on six quarter. They've used six different players at quarterback this year, Bob.
Oh, my gosh. I think blaming your city's sports woes on a curse, a fictional made-up curse, is kind of like Donald Trump claiming that everything is rigged when he doesn't win.
Sure.
It's a little too convenient.
Yeah, it works. It's worked for some franchises for years and years.
Well, as a special treat for us and for our listeners, for this 100th episode, we wanted to do a special hip-hop category version of the Brick House Game Show.
And now here's the host of your Brick House Game Show, Bob Johnson and Matt Baker.
Got three new categories for today's game show. We'll start with the first one. Matt and I are going to be heads up playing best of 15 questions here. Please play along at home, in your car, wherever you're listening to this. The first category, Matt, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Man, yeah.
Famous, who is that, Heavy D quote? No, I'm just kidding. Jay-Z. The Hova. Matt, I'll start with a true or false question for you.
Okay.
Remember, this is the businessman category. While Caron Butler played for the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban called him BK because he owned a handful of Burger King restaurants. True or false?
False, Bob.
That is, in fact, true.
Oh, wow.
Caron Butler loves the Burger King.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, he likes making money, and he likes having the ability to get a free Whopper whenever he
yeah,
wants.
Yeah, that's great.
That's just one of the perks of NBA life.
Yeah, it is.
He'd probably get a free Whopper even if he did own the place, you know?
Don't tell him that. He already spent that money. Bob, multiple choice here. Who was the first player put on a postage stamp?
Oh, I like it.
A, Wilt Chamberlain. B, Bill Russell. C, Jerry West. D, Magic Johnson.
My gut tells me it's Wilt Chamberlain.
Bob, that is correct.
All right.
Wilt Chamberlain.
What year was that? Do you know?
No. I forgot to write years. But I assume it wasn't while he was playing. It was probably like a commemorative thing.
Yeah, after. Probably. Yeah, no one appreciated Bill Russell in his time.
Yeah.
All right. Number two question. Multiple choice for you here, Matt. What recently retired NBA player had a New York Times article written about his new passion as a, quote, art connoisseur and consultant? Is it A, Elton Brand, B, Amari Stoudemire, C, Kobe Bryant, or D, Sasha Khan?
Oh, man.
All retired last
I'll say Amari Stoudemire.
That is correct.
That sounds exactly like... when I think of phrases that sound a little uppity and... It was Amari, yeah.
Not Sasha?
No. I like that inclusion. True or false, Bob? Lil Penny was first brought on the scene to promote the Nike Air Penny Ones. You know, they're hyping up in this in the next Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Did they give him the Air Penny One moniker? True or false?
So true or false, the first shoe...
The first shoe that Lil Penny was brought on...
Was the Air Penny?
Was called the Nike Air Penny One.
I'm going to say true.
That is true. I don't think I worded it... I'm sorry about my confusion wording it, but they were so in on Penny Hardaway being the next Jordan that they actually called the shoe the Air Penny.
Air Penny.
Yeah.
That's hopeful. Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt. Got another true or false question for you. True or false... San Antonio Spur Jonathan Simmons paid $150 to try out for the Austin Toros, the Spurs D-League team.
False.
That is true.
Yeah, it sounded true. I just, oh man, $150.
He had to pay $150. His salary this year is $875,000 a year, so it was pretty good.
Worth it. Yeah.
Pretty good return on his investment
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it was.
While players go back and forth between the NBA and the D-League frequently these days, Simmons' story is exceptional. He had to pay a $150 registration fee just to try out. Many other players enter the D-League draft after going undrafted in the NBA or simply getting assigned to the D-League team from an NBA team. Simmons had to prove himself among 60 other hopefuls.
Wow.
Just to make the D-League
team.
That's
huge.
And he was huge against the Warriors on opening night, too. All right, Matt, give me another one.
As a rookie, Michael Jordan signed a $200,000 endorsement deal with which of these brands?
Okay.
Gatorade, Chevy, McDonald's, or Chicago Powerball?
I'm going to say Gatorade.
That's Chevy, Bob.
Chevy, huh?
Yeah, the Gatorade, I think, came about a tad later, but Chevy was one of his first... endorsement deals.
Man, I gotta look up what that slogan was back in the 80s.
Drive a Chevy. That's it.
Chevy, like a University of North Carolina shooting guard. Okay, Matt. Multiple choice for you. Which of these businesses did former prep-to-pro player Jonathan Bender not attempt after retiring from the NBA age 25?
Okay. Retiring, Bob?
What?
Retiring or just not getting a new contract?
He
was injured, wasn't he?
He did come back briefly and tried to play for the New York Knicks years later. But no, he had knee injuries. So which business did he not attempt starting at age 25? After his NBA career? A, start a record label. B, invest in real estate development. C, invent a medical device. D, start a hot water company.
Hot water, Bob.
That is correct.
Yeah. That's a task for only one man, we know.
Yeah. This is from Sports Illustrated. So one afternoon in 2009, while people watching at a public park in Houston, Bender hit on what would become a million-dollar idea, a training and rehab device that would improve the way people walked. In about 5 minutes, I had the whole thing put together with duct tape, some cables, and ankle weights from the corner pharmacy, he says. I tried the device on and it worked exactly like I imagined. That's when I told myself, if I can create a product that helps me, I know it'll help everyone else.
Wait, so he made $1 million? He made money off of this thing?
Yeah, well, I was doing research for this, you know, section and looking up different NBA players who had succeeded in business, you know, after the NBA.
Yeah.
And Bender had really failed at the record label, obviously.
Sure, most of those fail.
Yeah, he had made many real estate investments, but that wasn't really panning out. He was starting to really worry, you know, so many of these pro players, they go pro and then he was no exception, had 10 or more people that really depended on his income to help them survive.
Right.
And he was looking for anything he could to be able to replace that income that he was making in the NBA. And he invented a device that is for people with knee problems.
Wow.
Which is, you know, what ended his NBA career.
Yeah.
And it said that he's now working on one that is more specific for professional athletes and guys who are using their bodies at a much higher rate of impact than the normal civilian.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked that guy. All right, Matt. What's the score anyways? You got Amari Stoudemire and Hot Water, and I got... what did I get?
I think you've gotten two of the three I've asked so far.
Okay. So it's 2-2.
Yeah. Which player endorsed Sprite in the 1990s?
Grant Hill.
Yep. Okay. There you go.
Grant Hill drinks Sprite.
The options were Grant Hill, Alonzo Mourning, Glenn Rice, and Muggsy Bogues.
Yep. I wore Fila's and drank Sprite.
I wore Fila's for quite a while, too.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, this one you have no multiple choice answers. This is the guy who's, you know, responsible for the segment title. Can you name three athletes that employ Jay-Z as their agent?
Wow. Okay.
I have a list of at least 14.
Do they have to be basketball?
No.
Okay. Robinson Cano.
That's one.
Who else?
I think that was the first one he signed.
Yeah.
Robinson Cano.
Is Durant one of them?
Durant is one of them.
Yeah. And who would another one be?
For the point, Matt, can you give me one more athlete who employs Jay-Z as their agent?
Let's see. Let me do a quick scan of all these guys. Paul George.
Paul George is not one of them.
Okay.
I would have accepted Victor Cruz, Skylar Diggins, Geno Smith, CeCe Sabathia, Hakeem Nicks, James Young, Rusny Castillo, Ndamukong Suh, Giannis, Cespedes, Dez Bryant, Andre Ward, or Todd Gurley. All right, Matt, give me the last one of the section.
Okay, let's see here. True or false, Bob? LeBron owns a piece of Chelsea FC.
False, he owns a piece of Manchester United.
It is false, but he owns Liverpool.
Liverpool, okay. I'll still take the correct answer.
Okay, anyway.
4-2, Matt. You got a lot of ground to make up here, but
I
think you can do it. This next section, in honor of the Brick House 100th episode, is called Keeping It 100. Matt, why don't you give the first question of the Keeping It 100 section?
In an interview with David Aldridge earlier this year, Dennis Rodman said this was his first new hairstyle when he was going through the crazy hair in the 90s.
Okay.
The first one he got, okay?
Uh-huh.
Blonde, blue, blonde mohawk, red.
I'm guessing this started on the San Antonio Spurs days. I don't remember him as a Piston with goofy hair. And I think that he went Eminem blonde.
Blonde mohawk, actually.
Oh!
He said he was walking through a mall, and he walked by a barber shop, and the guy just said, "Hey, let me dye your hair." He's like, "Well, I don't want my hair. Why would I want my hair dyed?" He said, "Yeah, let me do it." So he's like, "Okay, whatever." So he went in, and he said, next thing you knew, he was walking out with a blonde mohawk, and that was right.
Next thing you knew, he's wearing a wedding dress.
Right, yeah, he was, yeah, that was right before his first Spurs game, so he revealed it at the big Spurs, like, fan day.
I'm sure Popovich was popping off about that at the time.
Yeah, it was, actually, it was John Lucas, I think, was their coach at the time.
So. Right. Oh, briefly, I guess we should explain to people who, you know, are even whiter than us that Keeping It 100, the vernacular, is essentially means just being true to yourself.
Right.
Having said that, now that we know the definition, I want to ask you, Matt, multiple choice question. Well-known Taylor Swift fan Jimmy Butler told Rachel Nichols on The Jump that his favorite T-Swift song is what? A. We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Uh-huh.
B. Shake It Off. C. Mean. Or D. Bad Blood.
Wow. Mean, Bob.
The correct answer is We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Amazing. Amazing.
You do you, Jimmy Butler.
Hey, do it. And do it. Do it big. This controversial coach got fired after 20 games with the Spurs, making him the shortest tenured coach in NBA history. On his exit, he said, "All I wanted was a point guard."
Hmm.
Larry Brown, Bobby Knight, Hubie Brown, or Jerry Tarkanian?
Hubie Brown?
Is Jerry Tarkanian.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting trivia.
Yeah, he coached 20 games. He you know, he was the championship-winning coach with UNLV
right.
in the 90s, and then he gave a shot in the NBA and didn't last very long, so...
Wow, that must have been before Avery Johnson was good, at least.
I just like the all I wanted was a point guard.
The election's rigged, I tell you.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. True or false? Kobe Bryant recently admitted he was almost late to his last game of his career because he was editing short stories.
I'm going to say that's true.
That is true.
That seems exactly like a thing that would be true.
You have closed the point gap down to one.
Okay.
3-4. Next question.
Who said this when asked about how he thought the 2012-2013 Lakers would do? I don't know. I don't care. I just hope they suck.
Mark Cuban.
Okay. You knew that one?
Yep.
Okay. The other options were Kevin Garnett, Matt Barnes, and Charles Barkley.
I bet he said the same thing about the 2016-2017 Golden State Warriors.
Right.
Especially because he employs the 2015-2016 Golden State Warriors in Harrison Barnes, yeah. Andrew Bogut, and kind of in Seth Curry.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, this one is probably my favorite question that I came up with. What is the time that Dwight Howard has not admitted to crying? A, at his first Atlanta Hawks press conference. B, after LeBron James in Miami won the championship in 2012. C, sometimes when he runs out of sour straws. Or D, when people died in the movie Jack Reacher.
Sour straws, Bob?
Sour straws.
Yeah.
We don't know if he's cried when he's run out of sour straws.
He hasn't confirmed it, though.
I suspect it's quite possible. Yeah. He did admit to an LA Times writer that he did cry when people died in the movie Jack Reacher.
Yeah, of course. It was very, you know, very something. Let's see here. True or false? Anthony Mason once turned down a 3-year, $21 million contract with the Timberwolves because, and I quote, "I have a family to feed."
Oh, I think that's a trick question. I'm going to say false.
Yeah.
Because it was Latrell Sprewell.
Latrell Sprewell, yes, it was. Latrell Sprewell was in the last year of a deal that was paying him $14 million that year. So when they offered him $7 million, he said it was an insult.
Wow.
So he went on to have the worst year of his career and then was offered nothing. And then when asked, his agent said Latrell was going to retire because going from being offered $7 million to $1 million was an insult. If you remember, going from 14 to 7 was also an insult, and then going from 7 to 1 was an insult.
Is this guy Dion Waiters' agent now?
Yeah.
I believe it's actually 6 to 4 now, so I got Sprewell and Cuban.
Okay, yes.
6 to 4, but you can close the gap with this correct answer. True or false, Matt? The last time we saw Andrew Bynum at an NBA game was game 4 of the finals, where he had bleach blonde hair and was drinking a Miller Lite tall boy.
Last time we saw him playing?
The last time we saw him at an NBA game was game 4 of the finals in Cleveland, with bleach blonde hair, drinking a Miller Lite tall boy. True or false?
True.
That is true.
Yeah.
Bynum said he was taking a cross-country trip and stopped in Cleveland to catch the game.
Nice.
5-4, Matt.
Last question. I think you said 6-4, right? Or 6-5.
6-5. Matt.
Scottie Pippen refused to re-enter a game with the Chicago Bulls with 1.8 seconds left because the play was designed for who?
Tony Kukoc. Okay. All right, here's the last question for you. So what is that? 7-5. 7-5.
Yeah.
Which Golden State Warrior did Charles Barkley say on Tuesday night was the second best player in the NBA? Charles Barkley.
Draymond Green.
Klay Thompson.
Okay. He said he was the second best player in the NBA?
In the NBA. He argued he was second to LeBron because he's also a great defender. Kenny Smith, of course, was incensed by this statement. But it seemed like Shaq and Ernie are not even fazed by these crazy Barkley statements anymore.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so 7-5, going into our last five questions, the last segment from the Drake song, "I Got a Really Big Team and They Need Some Really Big Rings," is the name of the final segment of our game show for today. I will give you the first question here, Matt. True or false, Manu Ginobili was recently asked if he'd heard the American expression, "I'd give my left blank," and he said, "I gave my right one."
Can you repeat that?
True or false, Manu Ginobili was recently asked if he's familiar with the American expression, "I'd give my left blank," and he said, "I gave my right one."
True.
It is true. Do you know what the blank is, Matt?
Ball?
I believe nut, but I will accept ball as well.
Yeah.
Ginobili said, "I gave it all. I gave it all. I gave my right one for the Spurs. I can say it. I can really say it. It's true." The American expression is, you know, "I would give my left nut. I would give my left nut for 10,000 Twitter followers." Ginobili had to have his right nut removed after a run into, I think it was Anthony Davis of the Pelicans last year. NBA players occasionally take nut shots, and he said, you know, it goes away after 3 or 5 minutes. This one didn't go away, and he had to be rushed to the hospital. I will go on record and say that's the last time we'll talk about that. It really hurts every time we mention it.
This is a mix and match.
Oh, okay. Love it.
You have to match player with college. I picked a player from the Warriors, Spurs, Cavs, and Raptors.
Okay.
And you have to mix and match, okay? So the players are Kevon Looney, Dwayne Dedman, DeAndre Liggins, and Terrence Ross. Okay?
Ooh, I think I only know two of them.
The schools are Kentucky, USC, Washington, and UCLA.
Okay. Looney is UCLA.
Right.
Who are the other guys? Liggins.
Dwayne Dedman, DeAndre Liggins, Terrence Ross.
Okay. I think Ross is Washington.
Right.
Liggins is Kentucky.
Yeah.
So Dedman is USC.
You are correct. Good work.
Love it. 8-2-6.
I always felt kind of bad for DeAndre Liggins because he left Kentucky as a junior to enter the draft the year before the Anthony Davis class.
Oh, so, wow.
So he was. I wonder if he kind of saw the writing on the wall and got pushed out and missed out on a championship.
But he is in the NBA. I don't know if the NBA even drafts seniors from Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true.
Seinfeld, white guy, he's got jokes himself, is involved in our next question.
Oh, man.
Kevin Love, Banana Republic model, recently described his fashion sense by comparing himself to which two people? You have multiple choice for you here, Matt. A, Tony Soprano and Jimmy Buffett. B, Don Draper and Larry David. C, Walter White and Rick Ross. Or D, Tyler Durden and Ari Emanuel. Kevin Love recently described his fashion sense by comparing himself to these two people.
I'll say the first one.
Tony Soprano and Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah.
Close. It was Don Draper and Larry David.
Wow.
Which I don't know what sort of fashion sense that would be.
That's just naming two people.
It'd be like a comfortable T-shirt with a double-breasted jacket on top. I don't understand your fashion statement there.
Amazing.
Kevin Love. Stick to the Martin jokes.
Okay. As of this podcast, how many consecutive sellouts do the Golden State Warriors have? Okay. 176, 193, 221, 254.
I'll go with 221.
It's 176.
176. Wow. Any one of those is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's over four years of sellouts.
Oh, I guess we should explain the I got a what the hell is this quote? I got a really big team and they need some really big rings. All of these questions are exclusively about players or teams that are title contenders.
Right.
Which is very few this year.
Yeah. That's why they're all Golden State Warrior questions.
Got a Golden State Warrior question for you, Matt.
Yeah.
True or false, when Draymond Green got caught cheating on a ninth grade biology test, his mother gave away everything in his room he could play with or touch. She also made him get a summer job and walk to it every day.
I absolutely believe that. That's true.
That is true. I love it. I love Draymond Green's mom.
That's so good.
As much as Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's another point for you there, Matt. I believe it's 6-8. 7?
Sure.
7-8?
6, yeah, somewhere.
I'll listen back to this. I'll know. I'll keep actual score.
On the next episode. Okay, so the past three seasons, not including like the two games of this season.
Right, okay.
The Golden State Warriors have had 238 wins, okay? They had exactly 238 wins in how many years combined prior to that?
Whoa.
Okay? It worked out. It was
exactly.
Weird. Yeah. 5, 7, 9, 11. 11 you can just take off the table. I just needed a 4th.
Yeah.
That's a lot of...
Okay. So the past 3 years, regular season was 238.
Yeah.
So then it'll be starting with... like the 2011 season and before that?
It would be the 2012-13 season.
Okay. So you got the lockout shortened season the year before that, and I know they didn't win a ton of games then because they were tanking for Harrison Barnes.
The classic Harrison Barnes tank.
I think it's 7.
7 is right.
Wow. 7 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. Those were all the building years, you know.
Thank you, Joe Lacob.
Oh, man, what a genius.
Light years ahead. Oh, this one's crazy. Which one of these Boston Celtics is not listed as a point guard on ESPN.com?
Oh, wow.
I am going to list six players.
Okay.
Five of which are marked as a point guard.
Wow.
And they just cut RJ Hunter, too, who's the shooting guard.
Sure.
Okay. Which one of these guys is not listed as a point guard on ESPN? Avery Bradley, Demetrius Jackson, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart.
Crowder.
Crowder is the correct answer.
Avery Bradley's listed as a point guard.
Yes, he is. 6'2", point guard. He's wow. definitely the starting two guard for them.
Yeah.
And he guards all the two guards.
Okay.
Crowder is a 6'6", small forward. In our 99th episode, we just told our listeners that the Celtics are actually the shortest team in the NBA.
Right.
Having all these guys on the team makes sense as to why that is.
Yeah. True or false, Bob, the Spurs have three foreign-born players on their roster.
Only three this year, huh? I know there's Pau Gasol, Manu Ginobili, and they got to have Patty Mills. They got rid of Diaw. They got to have one more. Tony Parker. Oh, Tony Parker, false.
Yeah, they also have David Bertans.
Okay.
And something named La Provitola.
Is he on the roster?
Okay. I mean, he was on the roster I saw. I don't know if it...
Yeah. All right. Good one. I believe it's 9-7.
Sure.
Okay. Last question for you, Matt. What famous musician tweeted at Steve Ballmer last year asking if he could redesign the new Chuck the Condor mascot?
Oh, no. We talked about this, I think, right?
Yeah, he tweeted at Steve Ballmer and said, you know, can I get another shot at this? Can I redesign the Chuck the Condor mascot for you?
Kanye?
Kanye.
He's the correct. Only one I think would have the chutzpah to do that.
Chuck the Condor tweeted back 4 minutes later after Kanye sent that tweet. Yeah. Saying, I miss the old Kanye.
Nice. Nice.
Which, if it happened in the past week, might have been up for our diss of the week. But alas. Matt, what's my last question?
We got... This is a good one, Bob. True or false? You and I, you Bob Johnson and I Matt Baker, are older than everyone on the Celtics roster.
That might be true. I think I've read that there's a 14-year veteran on the Celtics this morning. I forget who it is, so I'm going to say false.
You know, the roster I looked at says it's true, Bob.
Wow. Wow.
Who is a 14-year vet?
I don't know. They didn't name him. I was reading about how the Celtics got loose in a practice, like playing flag football or something.
Yeah.
And maybe it was a coach. Anyways, they interviewed him, and he said, oh, yeah, we have fun.
According to Roster Resource, the oldest players on the team are Gerald Green, who's just under 31.
Wow.
And Al Horford, who's 30 and a half
wow.
years old. So we yeah, did it.
Pretty soon we're going to have players drafted who are born in the 2000s.
Yeah. I think you won this round, so I'm looking at getting you a deluxe championship fan ring off ClevelandCavaliersTeamShop.com. I just need to, you know, make sure I figure out which one, if I want to give you the 10 karat gold with 2.0 cut diamonds for what appears to be about $6,000 or, you know, the $12,000 one. So
they need one of those ones that like, the quarter, where like you get the spider ring and the little pop bubble.
Yes. You
know, Cavs championship.
Those would be great.
I'd wear that. Matt, our diss of the week. Got to include that, right? In the 100th episode.
Yo mama is so fat.
This one is not as clever or articulate as some of our previous diss of the weeks, but funny nonetheless. I don't know if you saw the highlight from the Thunder 76ers game. After Westbrook scored a basket, he was fouled.
Oh, yeah.
There was a 76ers fan who was very pink and very round who stood up, gave Westbrook the double middle finger,
yes,
and yelled, "Fuck you," right to his face.
Yeah.
To which Westbrook turned around and looked very confused, walked over to the ref, and asked him if the fan was allowed to do that.
Yeah, that he, yeah.
The fan was promptly ejected from the game, which ESPN or whoever was playing the game must not have been ESPN since it was the Sixers.
I think it was ESPN because it was Van Gundy in that.
Oh, yeah. They did catch this on TV. Double birds, F you, right to Westbrook. I love watching fans get ejected from games.
Right.
Last year I went to Warriors Clippers and saw some dude whose tickets must have been $700-$800.
Right.
You know?
Just letting it fly. Yeah.
And the second quarter is tossed out because he just can't help from yelling obscenities to multimillionaires just trying to do their jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy, you know, he missed out on an amazing game.
But it's
entertaining for me, so wasn't that, keep like, doing it.
Wasn't that that was the first quarter, right? So it was the first quarter into the first game of the year.
Yeah.
What did Westbrook do to you? You guys have been trying to lose games for four straight years. What did Westbrook do to you?
Yeah.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We're going to check in with the best off-court basketball news that I've gotten all week.
Oh, wow.
You know what that is?
No.
Kevin Garnett is joining the Inside the NBA crew on TNT this year.
Wow. Match made in heaven.
I imagine KG could be serving up our disses of the week all season from a chair next to Shaq across from Charles.
Are they adding a chair so it's going to be, they're just
KG
just bringing them all?
KG once a week on Inside the NBA.
Yeah.
We'll tune in to keep tabs on all the funniest NBA news and let you know about it on the next episode of BrickCast.